came, why Allah sent these messengers. One of them, of course, was the fact that the people had forgotten the covenant, or rather the prescription that God had placed on their shoulders. That was one. Another thing that we discussed was that Imam Ali alayhi salam says that there was a lot of disunity. And one of the factors of disunity was that وَأَهْلُ الْأَرْضِ يَوْمَئِذٍ مِلَلٌ مُتَفَرِّقَ. People had become groups of different thinking. People were divided because they had different ideologies, different worldviews, and therefore they separated in that sense. They had a completely different culture. There was no uniting culture that could unite all of them. So that uniting culture was not existing, unfortunately. Yes, it's okay for every community to have its own type of culture, but there should be a general culture that unites all the human beings together. But that was not happening at that time. وَأَهْوَاءٌ مُنْتَشِرَةٌ. And the other problem was that the ideals, the desires, or rather those the aims and objectives of the community were different. Inshallah, we'll come in the next segment, we'll explain about this properly.
You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio, a program that presents a detailed commentary of Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
Welcome, dear listeners, to IRIB English Radio. We are discussing about the reasons why messengers and prophets came. And Imam Ali alayhi salam tells us one of the reasons was that وَأَهْوَاءٌ مُنْتَشِرَةٌ, that at that time, people had different aims and objectives. Now, this can be interpreted in two different ways. One of the ways is that we say that people in general were divided into, for example, in one community, were divided into castes and classes. So you can see the lower class, their aims and objectives would be just to, you know, get something on their table. Their concern is that we need to buy food, we need to buy clothes, we need to do this. I mean, just the basic needs, you see. There was one group. Another group of people, their aims and objectives were how they can, you know, just, you know, earn more and more in this world. You know, how much they can enjoy different types of pleasures. This was a higher group, let's say. How can they... There was the middle class, and the middle class, their aims and objectives and their whims and their longing was how can they, you know, climb the ladder of progress and maybe one day become the rich class and the higher class. So this was... You can see the society was divided into different groups, each group having their own aims and objectives, their own longings, their own... you know, you can say their own types of desires of what they want to achieve in life. This is one very important interpretation, and in fact it's something that we see that in this world of today also we find that. And that is why there is a great thirst amongst the people, that there has to be a savior to come and save us from this. That why is the world like this? Why have all these blockades happened in this world, that people are divided into classes? In those days, of course, the caste system, for instance, was a very, you can say, evil example, as one of the worst examples you could have of this type of division. And you'll see sometimes some people in the world, even today, in some parts of India, are ready to, you know, observe these systems that are completely destructive towards the society in general. So Imam Ali alayhi salam says this is one of the dangers that the people were facing. And this was something that was extremely unbearable because it was stopping the society to grow. This classification, this division, these barriers, these boundaries that did not allow, that were such boundaries that did not allow one group to enter another group. That one group could not even think about, for example, getting a wonderful education or a good house or something that would be you know, a good thing that in their life. They just couldn't think about it. And this was a plague that needed to be sorted out very quickly.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
Welcome back, dear listeners, to IRIB English Radio. So we say that one of the reasons that Imam Ali alayhi salam talks about here is وَأَهْوَاءٌ مُنْتَشِرَةٌ, the reasons why messengers came. People were divided into groups, into classes, into castes within the society, and all of them had different aims and objectives, and they couldn't mingle with one another in a good way. For example, when we had the feudal system, there were those feudal lords, okay, in the olden system before the coming of the capitalism and the coming of communism. There was a feudal system. And this feudal system, you had those lords, those who had the land, and there were the serfs, there were the tenants who used to stay on that land. And there was no way that class system could be broken in a way that, you know, those lower class people could come up. They just couldn't aim for something higher. You see, this was a problem. And today also we have it, but in an unwritten way. In the capitalistic system, it's like that. Those that earn the capital have all the freedom to hope for the best, to achieve whatever they want in this world. While those who are poor, they can't even think about it. They can't even, you know, dream about it. Even if they dream, it's like they are told, you know, just keep quiet and turn away. Anyways, this is one example. This is one interpretation of this. The other interpretation of وَأَهْوَاءٌ مُنْتَشِرَةٌ is that the world was divided in such a way, the people of the world, that there were a few, aims and objectives. There were a few poles in the world, and everyone and each group were longing for a direction in that pole. There was a polarization, basically. There were, for example, three, four major, you can say, powers which had that final say regarding where the society goes. Inshallah, we'll discuss about this. What does it mean? What this polarization meant, and how these four, five poles that existed would define the aims and objectives of those communities, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome, on the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio. قال النبي محمد من كنت مولاه هذا علي سيد فاز من ولاه هو بالكتاب مسدد والنور معناه باب العلوم ومرشد هو آيات الله من ناداه أو لبه حين دعاه نال مناه هو في الشدائد منجد والفضل يمناه هو في المحاسن أحمد والوحي رباه. Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With the light.
Art restoration requires intensive research and training and loads of skill. But imagine the anxiety while professionals embark on restoring rare paintings. Under careful supervision, French restorers are working to give back to 500-year-old paintings their former glory. They were rescued from a fire that engulfed the Notre-Dame Cathedral in Paris in 2019. These works date back from the 17th and early 18th century. The paintings, including 22 with large format, were temporarily stored in a warehouse and now being restored at an undisclosed location. The fire caused strictly no damage to the paintings, but they have accumulated thick layers of dirt and smoke on the surface after hanging in the cathedral for centuries. Some of the works also have paint loss due to overcleaning that restorers say need to be repaired elegantly. Colombia is known for its tourist attractions and is full of breathtaking natural sights such as beaches, mountains, deserts, and forests. The South American nation is also one of the few places that give tourists the chance to have an encounter with whales. Every year, from July to October, domestic and foreign tourists flock to Colombia's Pacific coast to catch a glimpse of humpback whales. The large animals reach the coast after traveling thousands of kilometers from Antarctica and southern Chile. But for visitors, there are strict rules to help preserve the area and the whales. Tourists are now being welcomed for whale watching after a two-year hiatus due to the coronavirus pandemic. This is also the time when humpback whales start their reproductive process.
Robots are slowly but surely becoming part of everyday life, taking on human roles in different areas. Now, fast food restaurants can make French fries faster and better as a robot called Flippy 2 takes over the job.
When an order comes in through the restaurant system, it automatically spits out the instructions to Flippy. Takes a frozen product, fries it for the precise amount of time, and puts the finished product in the end. It does it faster, more accurately, more reliably, and happier than most humans do it.
Flippy 2 has been created in a robotic lab in California called MISO after 5 years of efforts by its developers. According to the project engineers, a really good understanding of the food science is needed to make sure the food quality is there, how different food sticks together, and how the temperature and heat affect it. The MISO CEO says the machine can cook several meals with different recipes simultaneously, removing the need for catering staff.
This technology utilizes a whole bunch of computer vision. There's cameras throughout the system, including right here we have these food identification cameras. The cameras not only guide the robot and tell it exactly where it is in space and how to move through this area, but also identifies the food type, and it knows the recipe for each one.
The MISO CEO says tasks like the fry station are the kind that humans are most happy to offload. The name Flippy comes from the original machine designed to flip burgers, which was not very useful for restaurants. A celebrated Chinese artist integrates his life experiences and the beauty of his homeland using his own distinctive style of traditional painting. Chen Jialing is known for his Chinese ink paintings. Chen brings to life the imaginative richness and culture through his depictions of landscape with every brush of color. He is most famous for breaking traditional painting techniques while staying within the framework of the art form. Chen says one of his favorite subjects is the Jianggong Mountains, especially during certain hours when the sunlight offers its own visual delights.
The composition of this painting is based on the main peak of the Jianggong Mountains, because the main peak is the most majestic and imposing, especially at noon. The sun shines on the trees, forming a contour light involving trees and the large mountains, which is extremely beautiful.
The 85-year-old artist has also used fused traditional landscape painting with modern technology. Though Chen has participated in numerous art exhibitions, but he says his first solo exhibit was held in his 70s, and that's when his career really took off. Chen says he plans to paint as much of his homeland's stunning scenery as possible during his lifetime.
Freedom is an essential virtue that is valued not only by humans but animals as well, just like two eagle owls that have been released into the wild after being born in a Madrid zoo. The two owl twins were freed after months of training to survive in the nature. First, they were taken to a big aviary to develop the necessary skills, including those for hunting prey. The aviary is designed to have a similar environment to the local mountain range. Meantime, they need to gain muscle and come to a suitable weight. After passing various skill tests, the owls are released as part of Madrid Zoo's breeding program of night birds of prey. 7 eagle owls and 11 barn owls have been released since the program was launched in 2017. However, some of them flew back seeking shelter as they failed to adapt to the nature.
On the outskirts of China's metropolis, Shanghai, a tiny island has been dubbed Cat Island as it provides shelter for stray animals. Since it opened last month, a charity based on the island is taking in cats mainly brought from Shanghai residents. These small carnivorous mammals are neutered and evaluated, and those with good temper and health are allowed to roam free on the island. The city's Stray Cats Management Center says their trap-neuter-release policy is to protect stray cats, limits their population, and maintain ecological balance. However, Shanghai has an estimated 200 stray cats per square kilometer, which means other methods will be needed to control the urban population, stray cats.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
A pair of baby panda twins make their debut appearance at the Chongqing Zoo in southwest China, with visitors flocking to cherish the abundance of cuteness.
Our returnee panda, Ershan, gave birth to the twin brother and sister on July 22nd this year. Currently, the elder brother weighs 4.3 grams and the younger sister weighs 0.6 grams. They're in good condition at present.
The twins' first public appearance was on Saturday, the first day of the week-long National Day holidays. During this week, the pair of giant panda cubs will be on display in the nursery of the panda house of the zoo. Their mother, Ershan, once lived in Canada as a goodwill envoy, but returned to her homeland in 2020. This was Ershan's second delivery of twins. A total of 21 pandas currently live in the Chongqing Zoo, which has been breeding giant pandas since the 1960s. The evolution of robots has been one of the fascinations of recent technological developments. And now the most cutting-edge achievements in that department were presented to the public during a conference in Beijing. The four-day annual World Robot Conference was held both offline and online. It featured three major events, including forum, expo, and competition. On display were more than 500 sets of robots from 130 companies from China and abroad. The conference gave an idea of how the future of humanity will be impacted by the automations. It shows how they can contribute to different sectors, from the restaurant industry and medicine to elderly care, agriculture, and manufacturing. An aircraft powered by electricity may still be some way off, But one of its types is already here thanks to a whole range of innovative solutions being developed by aviation firms. American company Aviation Aircraft has debuted its all-electric plane in Washington State. The aircraft, named Alice, took off the runway at Grand County International Airport and flew for 8 minutes. It reached an altitude of 3,500 feet before touching down the ground. According to the company, the aircraft produces no carbon emissions, significantly reduces noise, and costs a fraction to operate compared to usual light jets. The company says it continues to develop and tweak the plane's battery system for an hour flight.
We're targeting a design criteria of 35 minutes for a charge. And so that'll be a charge for the typical route length. It's actually, as I just said, it's actually a design point. So going back to the comment I made earlier about designing batteries for aircraft, it's one of the considerations is how quickly do we want it to charge and how much power do you want to be able to draw from it. So again, we're targeting call it 30 minutes of charge for an hour of flight time or about 2C if you're...
The company aims to find its way into the market for trips that sit between 150 and 250 miles, a range that features aircraft similar in size to Alice. It will also be for both commuter and cargo flights. For aircraft manufacturers, this paradigm shift is driving fuel savings in flight and on the ground, reducing carbon footprints and NOx emissions while also improving reliability and cutting maintenance costs. Many people of the world are supported almost completely by animals because they live in areas unsuitable for animal husbandry. But these days, even some city dwellers are making their living out of animals, like a Virginia girl. Andrea Diaz quit her job at a restaurant and started to rent her pet alpacas to cheer up steer crazy Americans during the pandemic. Since the launch of her business in 2020, it has expanded from 2 to 14 alpacas. Interestingly, 5 with fluffy pets are regularly making a paid appearance at birthdays, weddings, restaurants, and offices. She charges a starting price of $95 per hour. Diaz says the best part is when there are kids' birthday parties, but even it's really a fun for the adults. She calls alpacas a good exposure because they attract people.
In most of its habitats, the heavily trafficked pangolin faces the biggest threat from humans. But in Taiwan, these gentle creatures are exposed to quite a different danger, feral dogs. In the island, a government policy has led to a surge in the population of feral dogs. The pangolins share most of their roaming area with the stray animals. Plus, these scaly animals cannot move as fast as their attackers. When faced with danger, pangolins curl themselves into a ball shape. But the tail still remains at the most outer side, and that's where the dogs hit them hard.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station. Youth Station. Youth Station.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته My dear brothers and sisters from all around the world, I hope you're all doing well. Here you're listening my voice from IRIB English Radio. We're at Youth Station and I'm Vita Treseris and here with me I have my dear friend Sister Asma.
Yes, I'm here as well. Thank you for
having
me.
Hello my dear sister, how are you doing?
Well, thank you. It's pretty much cool.
You know, today we're going to talk about a beautiful topic. And our topic of today is the aggression, the aggressive behavior of the young generation because of the social media, video games.
We have a dangerous topic today.
Yes. And video games and other materials that we are facing in modern life.
Well, we all believe that something has changed after the advent of internet and media and the different sort of applications that are in there for the younger generation to make use of. But, you know, because sometimes the sort of music, the sort of things these people pick are so much effective, and they would have such a bad effect on their brain.
I know.
And the way they think.
You know what? I, as you know, there are many social media. There are different things in nowadays life, like video games, like music, like TV, everything. I want to ask you that. Which one is the most efficient one in this area? What do you think about it? Which one?
Well, I would say every single one of them, because, you know, you cannot divide society into different degrees and classifications. So I would say all of them, because the majority of the young generation would go for video games, and at the same time, they are too much diving into this media thing.
I know that.
Whether it be Instagram or TikTok or anything like that. So I would say all of them.
But I want to look at this topic from kind of a more professional viewpoint. And I want to tell you that, unfortunately, video games are something really different from other things in social media. Why it is like that? Because, as you know, there is a kind of really active nature in learning behavior in video games. When you play video games, it's like you are the one who is living in this world. And you are behaving in a world, no matter it is virtual or something, you are the one. And this kind of personification of these video games will unfortunately lead you to behave in the real world in a different way too.
Yeah, yeah. You feel like you're one of those people who are acting in those video games, and then you are too much of feeling the role in a way that you would forget your life.
Exactly. And this is the problem, unfortunately, because there are many studies in this area. One of these studies was, you know, on 277 students, high school students that had, you know, just aggressive behavior in real life, in school, and everywhere. And all of them, every single 277 of these students were playing aggressive video games.
Oh my God, that's a great number.
That, you know, that's just somehow sad, even.
Yeah, it is.
To hear something like that. And, you know, there were like some addicted person to these video games. And this addiction also is a big problem.
Just imagine, you know, the rest of their life.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, the reason of these behavior is that they are like, okay, in this world, in this video game, in this situation, I can solve all of my problems with this aggressive behavior, with crime, with violence, with everything. This is the answer. So I can go in real world and do the same thing and have the same results.
Yeah, as we see, it happens in many countries that all of a sudden someone comes out of the street and then kills plenty much of people.
Exactly. And what is the reason exactly? This is the reason.
Yeah.
This is the reason behind it. And what can we do to solve this problem? What do you think? As you know, the young generation is somehow rebellious, and you cannot just tell them to do this and to do that and expect them to do the exact thing that you're telling them.
Yeah.
But I want you to tell me that. How can we limit this situation, these games, this media?
You know what, Bita? I do believe that the usage of cell phones or computers for children must be restricted by their parent. And they must be in a sort of authoritative condition that they would have much of authority to tell their children not to use this until you have done blah, blah, blah. not to play with those games until I pick the video game that is more suitable for you.
I do agree with that one, but unfortunately, the age of playing video games nowadays is somehow really higher than what you think. I know many people in age of 30, 35 even, that are playing video games in all their life, every day, every time, 24 of the days.
Yeah, so I guess if they have a work and if they are engaged with a job, I don't think they would be going for those things too much.
Yeah, but you're telling me that, you know, because they have money, because they have facilities in their lives, more than what they have to have, it is like they are free and they're going to go play video games or something.
See, an idle brain is the devil's workshop. This is a truth and we cannot ignore it. Mm-hmm. Whenever you are so much free and you have that much of free time in order to go for video games in a world which is full of devastations and problems, then it means you do not have much of problems to deal with. And of course, I also have to mention this very fact that sometimes some people, after a depression or after a phase of sad situations in their life, they would find refuge in those video games or media or whatever just to forget whatever they're living in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So there are different reasons for using those videos or whatever, sometimes out of idleness, sometimes out of depression, sometimes out of just free time.
I do agree with that. So, dear listeners, we're talking about the effect of video games and social media on your behavior and the young generation behavior in this world. As my dear sister Asma is telling us, it's like there are many reasons to be addicted to these kind of things. But if you do agree with me, we're going to have a break right now. And
of
then
course.
We're going to come back and talk about our topic. Welcome back, dear listeners. We are here talking about the beautiful,
the aggressive generation,
topic of our generation, which is considered somehow aggressive in many ways and in social life. And we're, you know, searching and seeking for the reason of this aggressiveness.
Well, we talked about the thing that the younger generation is going for too much of video games. And we should not forget that it's not just the video games. There are too much of songs and musics that they would listen to, and they convey sort of aggression into their brain, and they would have such bad effect into their perspective of life.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? The problem with these things actually is not that, okay, I'm just losing the time, which is all my investment of life. It is not that. It's true that you just blink and then 1 hour has gone. So I'm not talking about the fact that you are destroying your life doing nothing and you are just sitting idle. Just as that. I'm not talking about this part because that would take another session to discuss about. I'm just saying that the thing that we are feeding our brain with are going to have a very much sad effect on our mental health.
I know that there are many negative aspects about these things, but I want you somehow to talk about the positive things. Even there are some people who are so aggressive and they're cured by these video games. And I saw it. I saw it with my own two eyes.
I have never seen such a thing.
I saw it. And if you don't trust me, I don't know what should I do. But
justify me.
Okay, you know, I had a friend who was like, okay, I'm so depressed. I have nothing to do. I don't have any goal or something. There was a game that was like you could just choose your job in that game, okay? And this friend was like, okay, I don't have any goal. I just want to die. But after playing that game and experiencing many things, even in a virtual world, it was like, okay, so maybe there are good experiences in these video games. Mm-hmm. Okay, and even sometimes you can cure this aggression. Maybe this aggressiveness is caused by the parents, is caused by the atmosphere that you are living in. As you know, there are families that have many problems, like, you know, I don't know, like divorced families or something have many aggressiveness in them.
When the families are shattered, too much of problems would happen.
Exactly.
And the mind is something that would be under the effect of all the conditions around you. And all the surrounding situations would have sort of effect on your brain and how it works. So I would actually believe that a family has a great, great role in that as well.
Mm-hmm. And because of that, I think just a restriction by the family is not a solution.
I don't say restriction. You know what I mean? As a mother, just consider yourself. You have a child and you're so much caring about the future of your child. So it is not very much easy for you to give your cell phone to your child and then expect them to be all engineers and the good people who are going to be useful for their society.
Mm-hmm.
Or even just forget about job. Good human being. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is not going to define their life. I'm just saying that as a parent, we have this right to keep our children away from the things that would harm them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying that. You use your authority in order to tell your children that this thing is not going to be good for you. Just like when they're touching the fire, you know, you would never let your daughter or son to touch the fire.
Exactly.
Because you know that would burn them. And maybe in some cases, the scars will never fade away.
I do agree with you. You know, you're telling me something that it is that much right that I cannot tell you something. I think as a parent or, I don't know, even as a mother, as a future mother, we have to understand that they can understand too. I mean, we have to elaborate the results,
course.
The consequences.
Yes, through
for them.
Language.
Yeah. And this is, I think the way you elaborate it is more important than what you're going to say, you know.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if you understand that they understand, it will make them feel secure about anything, about your advices and
that's
something.
That's the point. Make them feel secure and friendly, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when you talk to your friend, for example, they have
a
problem and then you come to them and then you tell them in an authoritative way. You tell your friend, okay, you should just stop doing this
and
or that.
Actually,
and then they would listen to you.
There is another thing. When you are friendly and when you are talking friendly to your child and tell them, okay, this is bad for you and you are acting somehow like aggressive or something, they will understand it. Okay, always there is no need to be aggressive to solve problems.
Yeah.
You can be friendly and solve problems.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
There's another point also which is worth mentioning. You know, it does not happen all of a sudden. The children and the young generation would look back into their older generation. They would learn from them their lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
If my mother or if my father are just surfing the net all the time, they're doing useless things, and I'm just sitting in front of TV doing nothing, then I would turn into someone like them as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess your lifestyle sort of comes from the way your parents lead.
Exactly.
If in a family, reading books is something viral, then the children cannot go the other way. You know what
yes.
I mean? It would become something like your way of living. You cannot live without it. If in a family they devote a time for conversation and they have this friendly discussion all together, then the children would not go and find refuge in the other places. Like listening to those musics that would crush into their brain and then just, to, you know, they have some very much harsh effect on their brain.
I know that. You know, I've experienced it. As you know, we are talking about the aggressiveness in youth generation that is caused by the modern life, like social media, video games, and etc. And at last, we just understood that the effect of family and children is more important than anything in their lives.
And it's not just family, you know. Educational system is important. Society is important.
Even educational system, even your financial way of living or something, is related to family, and family is a root.
If of course. There is no doubt. Family is the root.
You know what? So if you try to talk friendly to your children or, I don't know, just understand them or understand the point that they can understand too, that will help you to lower the aggressiveness of their age. So we're running out of time. I have to tell farewell to you and leave you in the warm embrace of God. Thank you for being with us. السلام عليكم
ورحمة الله وبركاته.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is your host Musa al-Bahadili, and you are now listening to the program Q&A on Islamic beliefs. Joining us in the studio today is a dear friend and esteemed guest, Sheikh Nur Muhammad, who is an Islamic researcher at the Seminary of Qum. Dear Sheikh, I welcome you and, of course, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us, dear Sheikh. So, dear Sheikh, we have a verse of the Holy Quran that says that Rabb al-Ibad, Allah the Creator, the Lord, He says in His Quran, يَظَلُّ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَهْنِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. He can either lead astray those who He wishes to lead astray, lead them to corruptions, or lead them away from Sirat al-Mustaqim, from Islam, from the straight path, or He can lead them to Islam, towards Himself, towards righteousness and justice and so on and so forth. So seemingly Allah, He decides who He wants to be a good Muslim, a person who goes to heaven, and He also decides who gets to be a bad person and who goes to hell and gets punished. So seemingly, some would say that the human in question, us who live in this world, in this creation, we have no choice because we are either forced to be mu'mins, believers, righteous people, or we are forced to be bad people. So at the end of the day, if I'm forced to be this way, I'm sinless, am I not, dear Sheikh?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You know that in the verses of Noble Quran, we have some verses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking about the guiding of some people and misguiding. يُضِلُّ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. The appearance of these verses of Noble Quran talking about, as we understand from the, you know, shallow understanding of these verses,
just from translating what is
translating
written,
yes,
right. This most that, simple level,
yeah, it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides some people and misguides whatever, you know, He likes some other people. So but you know that if you want to have the, you know, accurate understanding of verses of Noble Quran, you have to check other related verses of Noble Quran.
It doesn't make do just taking one verse out of context.
Exactly.
You need the entire chapter, and often you don't need tafsir and exegesis of this.
Exactly. You have to look at these verses, because these beautiful verses of Noble Quran are revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to mankind. And these are miracle, you know. And these divine verses has some lessons for all people from different generations till the day of judgment. So you should look at it in this unique way, and you have to benefit the most from this verse of Noble Quran. First of all, we know that human being has free will and choice. And it is one of the differences of human being with other creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is very important that by your choice and by your free will, you choose either the evil way, okay, the path of Satan, or you choose the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to say that whether you are righteous people or you choose to be from the, you know, wrongdoers. If you choose to be by your free will, we have free will, and everybody knows and feels that.
We say we have free will, dear Sheikh, but then we have this verse that says that Allah decides.
If you choose to be evil doer, in that case, by your free will, if you choose that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes away His mercy from you. Okay? And this is a meaning of idlalullah. Idlalullah, misguidance of Allah, some people. It means that he's taken away His mercy from you. But if you choose to be righteous people, and if you step into the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives you more mercy and more blessing. Okay? And you feel that. And this is a meaning of Yahdi man yasha. So, it's totally depending on you and your choice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will add to that according to your choice and according to your will that you started in the beginning.
So this verse is actually not how it is, how it works, this whole thing, our free will and how we are tested. Mm-hmm. It is actually a consequence of our actions. Because if we strive towards righteousness, He will help us. If we turn back from Him, He will leave us.
Exactly. Let me go to other verses of Noble Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that كَذَلَكِ يُضِلُّ اللَّهُ الْكَافِرِينَ. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala misguide. Of course, remember my, you know, interpretation of this verse. كَذَلَكِ يُضِلُّ اللَّهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala misguide unbelievers. كَذَلَكِ يُضِلُّ اللَّهُ مَنْ هُوَ مُسْرِفٌ مُرْتَابٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will misguide those people who are transgressor and who have doubts into the verses of Noble Quran and into the divine mission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, the misguidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not, you know, without any reason. Rather, it's depending on your choice. Okay? In other verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that وَيَهَدِي إِلَيْهِمْ أَنْ أَنَابْ. Allah will guide those people who repent to Him. وَيَذِيدُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ اهْتَدَوْ هُدَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase on the guidance of those people who have chosen to be from among the righteous people. So it totally depends on you. If you decide to be righteous person, Allah subhanahu wa yazeedullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase on your guidance. But if you choose to be wrongdoer, okay, I will take away my mercy from you. And you're no longer from among the righteous people. Okay.
So that's the interpretation of this verse, which is completely different from what it seemingly says.
It is accurate understanding of the verses of Noble Quran.
Right.
That we cannot single out one verse and put it out of the context of the verse of Noble Quran, try to have shallow understanding of that.
Of course.
Rather, you have to have comparative, scholarly, you know, understanding of the verses of Noble Quran. In other verse, he said that مَا أَصَابَكَ مِنْ حَسَنَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ وَمَا أَصَابَكَ مِنْ سَيَّاتٍ فَمِنْ نَفْسِكَ. Whatever blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to you is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? That whatever wrong action which you encounter with is from yourself. Maybe you have some wrongdoing and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, you know, sent some kind of, you know, consequences and punishment for it.
Okay.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
So, dear Sheikh, what if we have a person who's not a Muslim? He does not know Islam. He does not know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as Muslims know him. But he is a believer. He knows that there is a creator. Will he also be guided towards Allah, or will he be left alone?
Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide those people who want to know about him. It is very important. Because even somebody maybe, as you said, they are not maybe Muslim, they are not within the realm of Islam, but they want to know about Islam. They want to know about the divine religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide them and provide assistance for those people who are seeking for truth.
I ask this question because a follow-up question would then be, if I'm not looking for hidayah, for guidance,
yes,
and I'm looking to actively, I'm looking to be misguided, if that is my goal, will I also then be misguided? Will I also reach that goal?
And actually, you know, it depends, as I said, the first step from yourself. It is very important. If you decide to be from the, misguided people and from the transgressors, so Allah subhanahu, and if you repeat that, and right, if you instantly try to continue and go on this path, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take away his mercy from you, okay?
Right.
But if you decide to be from among the guided one and righteous people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provide more guidance for you. So, first step is from you, and it depends on your choice and on your, willpower.
So again, it returns to the free will of human beings. Dear Sheikh, we talk about hidayah a lot, about guidance. Some people, when they hear guidance, they believe that it is some sort of miracle, that perhaps an angel comes and whispers to them to do this and this and that, and not do that and that and this. I've seen this, many people have this sort of understanding of hidayah. But maybe because they hear of Waswasi Shaitan, the whisperings of Satan, that they think that it is quite literal, that Satan is whispering in their ear, that means that angels also whisper in your ear. I do not know where this misconception comes from. But actual hidayah, which form does it take? I know there is many, but could you at least mention some so people can get a better understanding of what guidance actually is?
As you mentioned, sometimes we have the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the God-given nature of human being, which we call it fitrah.
Right.
Because all human beings, they enjoy this nature, which is divine nature, which is fitrah ilahiyya. It is very important. Because all human beings that have kind of tendency toward righteousness, toward
justice.
This is very important. Because of that, this tendency, attract them to have righteous action, to respect the other, and to have altruistic, volunteer action for other fellow human being.
Right.
And on the other side, we have some kind of hujjah zahiriyya, which is from the prophets and from the imams. And, sometimes some people, invite you toward this divine religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have different kind of guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of them are out of the human being, and some of them is, embedded within the human being himself or herself. So it depends on, willpower and on your choice. After all, you have to decide whether you want to go to the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or whether you choose the satanic animalistic way.
But can we say then to our dear listeners that you can rest assured if you are searching for God, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will help you find him?
Exactly.
Can we say that?
Exactly, for sure. There is no doubt. There is no shadow of doubt here. If you are looking for the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if you decide to go to the right path and to be away from this animalistic realm of life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide you many other guidance. Whether, for example, some people, you will, you know, they provide guidance by any means that right. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide you to the right path.
We ask Allah that He may always guide us toward Sirat al-Mustaqim and toward Himself for us and for our dear listeners. And with that, we will end today's program because we are out of time. I thank the dear Sheikh for joining us today and sharing with us his knowledge.
My pleasure.
And I also thank you, the dear listeners, for tuning in. Until next time, fi amanillah.
Inna fi al-jannati nahran min laban. Inna fi al-jannati nahran min laban. Li Aliin wa Husayn wa Hasan. Li Aliin wa Husayn wa Hasan. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن علي
Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode of The Subcontinent.
The Subcontinent.
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of The Subcontinent. As you know, on this program, we will address the most important issues in the South Asian region that affect the governments, organizations, communities and most importantly, the people. And as always, we will dissect the issues and present you with different perspectives from experts and people. So, stay tuned.
In this edition of The Subcontinent, we will discuss how India continues to defy U.S. sanctions to import crude oil from Russia, making clear it won't toe the Western line on the Ukraine war. And we shall also look at the second wave of catastrophe in Pakistan amid the spread of waterborne diseases and food crisis after the devastating floods.
Defying U.S. sanctions and saber-rattling, India has explicitly reiterated that it will continue importing oil from wherever it needs to, including Russia. India's oil minister made these remarks during a recent visit to Washington as the standoff between Russia and the West intensifies over Ukraine. The simmering war, now in its eighth month, has greatly disrupted the global energy market, affecting supply and demand patterns and trading relationships. But India, as an emerging economic giant, has withstood the pressure to snap its time-tested trade ties with Moscow.
Following his meeting with U.S. Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm on October 8th in Washington, India's oil minister Hardeep Singh Puri made it emphatically clear that his country will not toe the Western line on the Ukraine war. He said New Delhi has not been told by anyone to stop importing oil from Russia, asserting that it will continue to buy oil from wherever it has to, keeping in view the government's moral duty to provide energy to the people. The remarks came as soaring energy prices amidst the Ukraine war have begun to bite people around the world, hurting households and industries. India, a close ally of Russia, has refused to join the Western coalition in boycotting Russian energy. Instead, the Narendra Modi government in New Delhi has ramped up crude oil imports from Russia since the Kremlin launched its military operation in Ukraine in February. On the OPEC Plus consortium's decision to slash oil production by 2 million barrels per day, India's oil minister said there are countries in the consortium that have always sold oil to India. He also pointed to hitherto unheard-of sources that New Delhi is looking to import oil from, highlighting the rising demand in India driven by an increase in per capita consumption of energy.
While the boycott of Russian oil and gas amid the Ukraine war has fueled a major energy crisis in Europe, India remains afloat by not only continuing to buy Russian energy, but also